Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Our hearts will rejoice as we're going to listen to the words of Isaiah and how he describes our deliverance. In our gospel reading today, we're going to take comfort in the words of Jesus as he speaks words of consolation to John the Baptist. Jesus is God's chosen deliverer. May God bless our time in his word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence, to worship him with humble and penitent hearts. So let us confess our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and my actions. I have done what's evil. I failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins. And trusting in my Savior Jesus, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us. He has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Hear our prayer, Lord Jesus. Come with the good news of your mighty deliverance. Drive the darkness from our hearts. Fill us with your light. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson then is the epistle lesson from James chapter 5. By inspiration, James encourages us to be patient as we wait for the Lord. We begin reading at verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of God. And we have a reading from the Gospels, the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 2. When John, this would be John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back, report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." This is the gospel of Christ. We turn then to our message for today, the words which come to us from Isaiah 35. You might have to, well, perhaps just close your eyes to do this, Let's just see. Put yourself behind the wheel of your car, or maybe even in the passenger seat. Okay, are you there? Now you're driving on the freeway in Phoenix. Do you see what I see? Do you see all those red lights? It's bumper to bumper traffic on the freeway, and you just plod your way home. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the horns blaring and the tempers of the people shouting their frustrations? Do you know what I know? Do you know that driving on a freeway is a lot like living life? Sometimes it sails, sometimes it stalls in place, it crawls at a snail's pace. You just don't seem to get anywhere. Now, take another look. You see a clear, uncluttered lane opening up. You hear the swoosh of your car as you sail down the road. And you know that soon you'll be home. Today, through the prophet Isaiah, we see that we're on a highway, but it's a different highway than the one I just was referring to. It's the holy highway. It's the highway that travels from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven. Let's hear the words then from Isaiah 35, the first 10 verses. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It'll be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is God's word. Isaiah chapter 35 is a complete opposite of the previous chapter. Chapter 34 spoke of the coming judgment, God's law. Chapter 35 pictures the gospel, the good news, and that gospel is pictured as a highway. And the first feature of that highway is it's beautiful. Verses 1 and 2, the desert, the parched land will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Isaiah describing something that's totally unnatural. Flowers blooming in a parched land, a place where there should be only death. On this highway, the glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. The prophet says. Lebanon was known for its fragrant cedars. Carmel was thickly forested with oaks, and Sharon was lush with flowers. How about you? Let me ask you, do you smell good? Are you strong and in great shape? Are you cute or beautiful or handsome or whatever word you want to use to describe someone with drop-dead good looks? The answer is yes. So, no, it sounds probably weird, but that's exactly the imagery that Isaiah uses to describe those on the holy highway. The holy highway is the glory of God that he gives us in the gospel. It is his glory that fills us, makes us beautiful. That's the glory that God brought down to this world, born as a babe in Bethlehem. And now, as we travel along that holy highway, the second feature is that his highway is safe. Verses 3 and 4, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. There are a lot of scary scenes from movies that one could refer to, but perhaps this one will maybe be the most recognizable. It comes from the movie The Wizard of Oz. It's the scene where Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion face the wizard for the first time, and the wizard appears as the terrifying Oz. Those four are so frightened that the Lion is so crazy with fear that he runs down the hallway and jumps right through the glass. That's Isaiah's picture of facing God on Judgment Day without faith. For those without faith, that road is so horrible, too horrible to even imagine. But because of faith put in our hearts by the Spirit, we are on the holy highway, a way that is safe. What were the angel's words to Mary when the angel announced that she would be the mother of the child? Don't be afraid, Mary. To the shepherds on Christmas Eve, don't be afraid. To the women at the empty tomb, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid is gospel. We know that our sins are forgiven through the life and the death of Jesus, and it's the gospel that gives us the confidence of knowing that we are on the right road to heaven. I'm sure most of you drive with some sort of GPS system in your vehicle. It tells you of every upcoming turn, every potential hazard. It even gets you back on track if you make a mistake. Having the gospel is like having God's GPS. You punch in the directions, heaven, and it gets you there. It even gets you back on track when you miss a turn. It forgives you and gets you back on that right highway, the holy highway. So now, as we're traveling down this holy highway, it's time for a rest stop, which is an oasis. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. A blind man sees, a deaf man hears, a mute man speaks, a paralyzed man walks. 40 years ago, in a football game, a linebacker hurtled headfirst to make a tackle. He heard something snap, and he rolled over. His spinal cord acted as if it had been hit by a sledgehammer. Mark and his father started the Miami Project, a research center to cure paralysis. Over these last 40 years, they've helped raise more than $550 million for the Miami Project to cure paralysis and improve the lives of millions with spinal cord and brain injuries. But to this day, Mark Buonaconti cannot walk. If tomorrow's front page shouted, "Mark takes his first steps," it would be an absolutely stunning story. Your story, my story, is so much greater. We were once blind to the cross and what that cross means. We were unable to hear God's loving voice. We were paralyzed by sin, unable to speak, unable to talk about joy and hope. Each of us is a miracle of God's love. Amazing miracles, ushered in by a little baby, and then his perfect life, and completed by his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross. As we leave the rest stop, it's time to get back on the holy highway. But wait a second. There's a problem. There's a toll booth ahead. The holy highway is a tollway. The remaining verses of our lesson, 8, 9, and 10. A highway will be there. It'll be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get upon it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. An article has this thought-provoking title, The Badness of Goodness. The article focused on how bad it is for people to think that by their goodness they can get on the holy highway. Well, what does Isaiah say? The unclean will not journey on it, and no matter who you are, not even the most self-righteous person can claim completely clean record. Whether it's a sinful thought, a word, or an action, doesn't matter. Whether it's a sin that bothers you for days or a sin that you hardly gave it a second thought, it doesn't matter. Whether it's not doing what God wants you to do or doing what God doesn't want you to do, it doesn't matter. The unclean will not journey on this highway. Perfection is the toll that the highway demands. And because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he came into a world without sin, and he stayed without sin from his birth to his death. And on Calvary's cross, with his precious blood, that innocent death, Jesus paid the toll that God demands for holiness. By faith, we're on that holy highway. We're headed for heaven. And until we get there, we sing to God with lives of thankfulness, service, and joy. At a large cathedral in New York City, a choir director had spent a great deal of time working with an excellent soprano for a solo on Christmas Eve. As the soloist's voice soared through the church, she suddenly was joined by a street person, a bag lady, who had wandered in and taken a seat next to the choir. The bag lady's voice had seen better days, and it quivered along slightly off key throughout the entire song. The other choir members sitting there looked frantically at the choir director, who made no move to stop her. After the service, some of the choir members asked that choir director why he didn't stop that lady. "Because," he replied, "I wasn't sure which song God would like better." My friends, it's not the quality, it's the love of the act. God loves us, and he has put us on the holy highway. And we respond with singing and with everlasting joy. Our text says they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Lord, as we prepare to celebrate your coming, do not permit a frenzied world to rob us of your peace or deprive us of times to ponder and to wonder at your amazing word. Set our hearts apart from the clamor and the jostle of these days, and fill us with that quiet delight of finding you in the manger, and keep hearts and minds undisturbed by the great throng that streams by uncaring. Lord, we also pray for those enduring great sorrow, for those undergoing spiritual trial, for those restless hearts who have no knowledge of your coming. Comfort them, strengthen them with the sweet peace born of your love, and keep them in the way of peace by your word. We pray this prayer and pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.